I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Good afternoon, welcome to another episode of The Memo. I'm Derek Russell with you. It is Thursday, December 17th, 1 week till Christmas Eve. Brad Locke joining us. Brad, how are you, sir?
Good, how's it going?
Doing well. Good to have you. Good.
Hey, quick shout out to my parents. It's their wedding anniversary today.
Shout out to your mom and your dad.
Yeah. Both of them. 48 years, I think.
48 years.
Yeah.
Good for them.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Happy?
Yeah.
Good. Are you?
What?
Are you?
Am I happy?
Yeah.
Some days, Derek. Some days I am.
I got you, buddy.
Some days.
That's why I drink Sprite. Yes, today's episode of The Memo is brought to you by Sprite, lemon lime soda.
I've got coffee that's gone cold. That's all I got.
Well, the Sprite's still cold, so that's good. It's not cold. In a winter can. Those are just dots. I thought they were snowflakes.
Get your eyes checked.
Get your eyes checked. That's my best comeback that I had to that.
Are you talking?
Yes.
Okay.
How are things?
Things are good.
Yeah. Christmas upon us.
It is, and I just...
It's only 74 outside. It's a balmy.
I actually had to put a coat on this morning. It did finally cool off.
Saw somebody posted something yesterday that said it's a lovely spring we're having this winter.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for fall to show up.
I assume February will be under blankets of ice.
It'll probably be miserable.
Okay. That's good to know. Yeah. Go ahead and start leaking the pipes now, people.
Yeah.
Don't want to make sure none of those freeze up on you.
By the way, this is the last show for me before Christmas. I'll be gone next week.
Brad Locke returning in February 2016.
I'm off starting Monday. Depending on how I feel about things, I might just come in and do the show and then go back
home. They don't need to know all this.
Yeah, they do. People need to know.
They're not worried about you.
People need to know what the talent is up to.
We have talent?
And me as well.
There's no talent in this room.
That's
Chris Kiefer. Is your mic off, Chris?
Turn your mic off, Chris.
Stay behind your computer.
Sit over there in the corner and be quiet.
Well, hey, we've got a lot to talk about today. Special guest joining us. Very excited to have Greg Perkle.
Yeah.
Attorney here in town and also the committee chair for the major thoroughfare here in Tupelo. He's going to be joining us. We'll also be talking about state test scores.
Mm.
A lot of people interested in that right now to see how well the children did in in Lee County and surrounding areas as well as Tupelo Public School District.
It's all about test scores.
Yes. I could not do, I told them I could not do a standardized test right now if my life depended on it.
No, me either.
I don't think I'd have the attention to get it done.
No, yeah, my attention is my attention span's gotten worse over the years.
Yeah, you couldn't even finish that sentence.
I saw someone walking out there and lost track.
Huh?
What?
People? Are there people here?
Squirrel.
Yeah, seriously.
We got who else? Scott Morris on the show?
Scott Morris, Riley Manning. Got a good one today.
Yeah, we do.
Let's jump right into it. Well, we mentioned we had a special guest joining us today, and we do. Committee chairman for the Major Thoroughfare Committee, Greg Perkle. Greg, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited to have you here. The next phase of the Major Thoroughfare is coming up. You guys are already preparing for what's next, and on that list are at least around 7 projects that you guys are recommending to move forward with.
Right, right.
How do you pick and choose, is my first question out, when you've got a long list of things that you know need work and want to work on, how do you narrow that down to 7?
Well, it's a sort of a long process. We have both professional input and then we have citizen input. About a year and a half ago, we hired an engineering firm to come in and do a study because during the election for this last phase, for phase 5, people kept saying, you know, what are you using to look at to see which roads need to be built? And one of the things they want to see is have professionals looked at this to see if this is where the traffic patterns are going. So we hired an engineering firm, and they came in and they did a study. They reported to the committee that these are the roads that we think are going to need construction over the next 20 years. So we have a 20-year plan that's been proposed by an engineering firm, and we recommended that to the city council, and that was approved as the 20-year plan. So that's the first part of it. Secondly, we have about 18 members on our committee, and they are from all the wards around Tupelo, and they drive the streets. So we look at the roads that are recommended, and then the people on the committee come in and say, all right, here's where we see problems. Here's where traffic is getting backed up. And then we have citizen input as well. So that's sort of how you come up with the streets. You look at traffic counts. You look at the accident reports, what streets have more accidents on them. And then you look at the professionals who say, according to their analysis, this is where the traffic flow is going. This is where the traffic patterns are going to be in Tupelo over the next 20 years. And we then come up with a list of streets. We vote on them, and we say these are the ones we think we need right now. We know we only have a certain set number of amount of money to spend on it, so what can we do with this money over the next 5 years? Then we take it to the citizens.
And now some of this money will also include the maintenance for the streets.
That's right. For the prior phases, we have not had maintenance. The city's regular maintenance budget included the thoroughfares. And now we're coming to the point that some of these, you know, when you have 20-year-old streets, you have to spend some money maintaining those. So we're very proud of the streets. We think that the program has done extremely well. But it is fair for us to use this money to come in and keep these roads maintained to make sure that our people have good roads to drive on.
And on the list right now, we're looking at the Barnes Crossing area. We're looking at Eason Boulevard, among others. What are some of those repairs that need to be done on those areas?
Well, as far as the repairs and the committee's involvement in the repairs, Public Works for the city actually goes out and inspects the roads, and they say, all right, here is our list of priorities. These are the things that we are going to, that we think need to be done. And then they'll, for the thoroughfare money, they'll come to us and they'll say, these are the things we think we need to spend money on right now. Thoroughfare money is not going to be just the general budget money for the city. It's not going to be road maintenance all over the city. We do have a list. We'll be going to the voters with a list of the roads that can be improved. Every single street that we have had that's been involved in the major thoroughfare program is on that list. So all of the thoroughfare roads, and the city designates those as arterial roads, all of those are on the list, so the money can be spent to maintain those roads. Mm-hmm. Then you have major collectors. That's going to be roads that bring traffic onto the major thoroughfares. Those are also considered maintenance for the thoroughfare program. There was a proposal that we look at minor collectors, smaller streets, and usually the difference is the traffic count. We're looking at how much traffic goes on these roads every day. But we determined that that was really, we didn't think at this time it was the most appropriate use of thoroughfare money. So we have limited our list to arterial roads and to major collectors.
What are an example of what minor collectors would be in that range?
The minor collectors would be more... not neighborhood roads, but they would have traffic counts of less than 1,500 a day. So something like that would be a minor collector. When you get up to the 2,000, 3,000 count, then that's when it gets to be more of a major collector. Mm-hmm. Right now, Jackson Street in the new proposed phase is going to be one of the major thoroughfares, but it has always been a major collector because it carries a lot of traffic. And so it's going to be streets like that that will carry as much traffic as West Jackson Street.
And then that, of course, feeds into Coley and other areas that you guys are looking at for this next phase.
Right, right. Anything that comes in and feeds traffic onto our major thoroughfares, that's what we're looking at trying to maintain, because that's a lot of wear and tear of getting people to the thoroughfares, the major thoroughfares.
I'm sure in a list of seven, you've got some that are not as expensive repairs as others, but what's kind of the range in repair prices for different factors?
In fact, as far as the maintenance, the list is far, far greater than seven. The 7 to 9 projects are going to be the thoroughfares that we're going to spend the money on.
Right.
But the maintenance includes dozens of streets that are potential, because it's all of the thoroughfares that we have done. It's all of Gloucester, all of Maine, all of McCullough, all of those kind of things. But they have not given us a list of all of the maintenance, but the total maintenance exceeds our budget.
Right.
The total maintenance for all of these roads would exceed $20 million. And of course, we can't do that. We don't have that kind of money. We have designated, and we're asking the public to designate 25% of the program, which is about $1 million a year, toward the maintenance portion of this. So, and we don't know that we'll spend the entire $1 million each year, but it will be designated as thoroughfare funds for maintenance. And if we don't need $1 million in year one, they can use $1.5 million in year two. So if the streets that need to be repaired in the second year, it's just that 25% is going to be designated and set aside.
So, I mean, there's so many moving pieces of this, of the puzzle. It's hard to think small in any part of this. You have to constantly think big of the greater goal, even out 20 years.
All right. You do. It can be overwhelming because you say we have so many streets that need to be completed. So many of these need to be maintained. But in fact, some of them we don't even know what the priorities will be. So we have not set priorities for maintenance. We have said to Public Works, you come up with a program for how you want to determine which streets need to be maintained, which need to be repaved right now, and come bring the recommendation to the committee, and then the committee will make the recommendation to the city council.
And I guess that's frustrating in your position because those factors are only going to dilapidate over time. Nothing's going to get better on its own. It's only
right.
The further you get away from it, it's only going to get worse.
Right. It is. Fortunately, we have the streets that have been built, the thoroughfares that have been built to really high standards. So the maintenance is not as great as it might be if there had been less asphalt, less thickness on the front end. So most of these major thoroughfares that we have, that we see, are very well built and easier to maintain. So they don't deteriorate as rapidly as maybe some other streets.
What's our time frame moving here forward? I know the seven have been proposed, but where do we go from here? What's the next step in this?
As far as the seven roads, the proposed roads and what they are, as far as we're looking at different things, talk about the timing. If we say where do we go from here as having this plan approved, the vote is next May. So there will be a vote next May as to whether we're going to continue the program. This is a citizen program. The 10 mills is not just something that's automatic. The public has to look at what we're doing and say, we think this is a good thing and we want this to continue. So we have made the proposal to the city council. We did that at the last thoroughfare committee meeting. The city council is going to look at it and they will approve it, hopefully. If they approve it, they will set a time for the election, which will be next May. And the committee will spend their time from now till the vote going out into the neighborhoods, trying to educate everyone in Tupelo as to what's going to go on and what the streets are and that kind of thing, and then we'll come in May. We're going to be looking at a lot of different roads this time, and we actually have one thing that is related to road and traffic, but it's not actually asphalt on the ground, and that's signalization. Mm-hmm. One of the seven, eight projects that we're recommending, as you're talking about, and it has to do with it's particularly Main and Gloucester. Main Street, when you're on there at peak traffic times, it's very stop and go. Mm-hmm. Very jerky, it seems like, when you're driving on that road. And we've always been told that, you know, if the signals are all aligned, then you can get the traffic flow going from east to west, west to east, and it'll be a much smoother transition. But that never has been able to happen when they go out. The signalization that we have now is maybe based on traffic counts 5 to 10 years ago. So what we are looking at, one of the projects is going to be signalization, and MDOT is actually helping us on that. That's one of the things our committee and the city always does, is to try to partner to get more funds and to have savings, cost savings in the thoroughfare program. But it's going to be, we have the infrastructure necessary to signalize the lights on Main Street, and it will take into account peak times. So it will try to make the traffic move more smoothly through there without having to say, all right, right now you have cars that come on the side streets, and when they hit those sensors, it'll cause the lights on Main Street to turn. Well, that's a very disjointed way to have the traffic flow, and it makes everybody on Main Street just stop, and that's the reason it feels so such a jerky motion through on Main Street. This will say, all right, the lights aren't going to change based on the sensors as people pull up on the side streets. It's going to flow based on the traffic flow, and at certain times, everybody on Main Street will stop, and people will go, and then everybody on Main Street will go. So it will be a much smoother transition for people. We think that's going to help significantly. And that's it's $150,000 to $300,000 to do that. But that's why we're looking for MDOT to try to help do that.
Yeah.
the other streets that we have with out by the college, mm-hmm. east and out by the college, the mall area, all of those places just have significant problems with traffic, and we're trying to do what we can and try to say, all right, where's the priority? We only have $4 million a year. Now $1 million of that's maintenance, so we only have $3 million a year, and we have about $17 to $18 million worth of projects. Where do we start? Which is sort of back to your question.
Yeah, back to the original question. You flipped us around.
So where do we start? There's only one thing we know. We know that we will start with South Thomas Street. We know that that's going to be where we'll begin because we've already started with that in this phase.
Yeah.
We have, and when I say South Thomas, it's going to be from Highway 6 to Cliff Guggen.
Okay.
So it's not a well-built road. We built the road out there so that we could connect to Highway 6, and we did that about two or three phases ago. So we know that that's going to be the first project because we're spending about $1.2 million on that project right now, or this phase money. So we know that's going to be the first project to connect Highway 6 to Cliff Guggen.
So you never can stay in the moment, basically, because you're already on to the next thing. Basically, you have to live in the future and in the present at the same time.
That's right. And we always have more projects in a phase than we can complete. And that's not from poor planning. That's just because we never know how much it's going to cost, and we never know how much help we're going to get.
Well, and the need is so great down the line.
It is. It is. We know that all of the projects that we have planned for this phase are necessary. They're sort of critical in everyone's mind, yet we only have $3 million per year for 5 years to build these roads, and they cannot all be built. So we bring them in saying, we'll look for as much money as we can. We'll come in. We'll try to prioritize as we go. But we know South Thomas will be first. There's always a lot of discussion about the mall area and the three parts of the mall that are impacted by this next phase are turn lanes at the mall. We're trying to, that's included in the plan. As you go from 45 on Barnes Crossing Road from Cracker Barrel to the Shell Station and the Walgreens, that's a part of the plan because that's a really difficult area to travel right now.
Very congested, especially this time of year.
Yes, it is. It is. So that's a part of the plan. And then another part of the plan is from that road on Gloucester up to the city limits, up to the Natchez Trace, where the entry is to the Natchez Trace. That's a part of that phase. So that little grouping is critical to a lot of people, but so is the road at East and out by the college. There's a new church out there. There's increased traffic. That's the one part of East and Cliff Guggen and Coley that hasn't been improved. And so there's a great need because traffic gets up there and bottlenecks. So that's critical for us to do as well. Then we have Jackson Street with the bank service centers and the airport from Coley down to Air Park. That's a critical area. And then also, right now, I know the city's spending a lot of money on West Jackson Street with Neighborhood Development Corporation, mm-hmm. with the new infrastructure there, and there's a need to improve that road. Jackson has always been on our list. Mm-hmm. It has always been on the list, but Jackson Street is one of the most expensive streets to try to repair and to maintain because there's a lot of private property right there.
Right.
And the road is narrow. So we're finally tackling that in this plan as well. It's ambitious, but we think that all of these things are really necessary, and we really think we can show the public that there's the need. We think that the program has helped improve the economy. We think it's brought in industry. We think it's brought in so many different opportunities for small business, for large business, and our committee thinks that's the future, or it's a part of the future of Tupelo.
Well, Greg, I've known you a long time. I don't envy your stress, but I appreciate your efforts nonetheless.
Well, thank you. It is stressful, and it's and building the new roads. When we built the new roads, there was a lot more to that than we had thought initially. But it's also very rewarding when you see the results. When it's I think. if the other citizens of Tupelo have their lives improved as much as mine has been improved with these roads, mm-hmm. then it's very rewarding to have been a part of something like that. And hopefully we can show the citizens how much better our lives are collectively if we have this program.
Yes. All right, Greg, thanks for joining us.
Glad to. Thank y'all for having me.
Moving on, we of course want to tell you about Thrive Marketing, which is a full-service digital marketing company located here in Tupelo, providing websites, search engine optimization, social media management, email, and text messaging services for local business. What they don't provide is test grades. And we're here to talk about what is that bad? We're here to talk about grades.
It's a really smooth segue.
No,
Derek.
I do terrible segues. That's what I'm about here. I make the most awkward segues possible. Emma Kent joining us. To talk about state test scores, but yes, talk about Rankin County. I'm just kidding. I knew that would stop you completely. Where I would talk about Tupelo Public School District, Lee County, and the region, but specifically those two because that's what we're
dealing
about. With right,
right
now. Yes,
right.
So general impressions, kind of now that the embargo has lifted and we can discuss these test scores.
Well, Derek, I've talked to Jimmy Weeks, who's Lee County Superintendent, and I've talked to Gerald Oden, who is Tupelo Superintendent, and kind of their impressions are they were both very pleased with the scores. Last year, the tests that these scores are for was the Park test, and that was different than the year before. So the scores are a lot lower. But they expected that because it's a lot more, it's a much more challenging test, and the standards that they're being tested on are a lot more rigorous. So there was a drop in scores, but it was expected. And it's, you know, even though the scores are lower, it doesn't necessarily mean that students are performing worse. It just means it's just a difference in the test, if that makes sense. But yeah, Lee County, let's see, Jimmy Weeks. He had good things to say. He said that their fifth grade math was a little lower than they had wanted, so they'll have to work on their fifth grade math. But they were pleased, other than that, across the board with how they did, and they did do pretty well. Tupelo, their district scores. First let me backtrack a little bit. But the Park test ranks, you have different levels of proficiency, I guess, mm-hmm. but they score you in level 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5. And forgot about the 5s.
Nobody remembers the 5.
And then, well, in this case, the 5 is the best, so you want to be a 5.
Please remember the 5.
So the 4s and 5s is what you're really looking at for the percentage of students who scored on those levels. That's your proficient and advanced students. Mm-hmm. So in Tupelo, across the board, there are 12 tests. So it's 3rd through 8th grade, math and language arts. But in all but one of those, their percentages of those level 4 and 5 kids were in the top 25. So except for 8th grade math, across the board, they scored really well in this all those tests. And Dr. Loden specifically noted that Milam did a really great job. He was very pleased with Milam's scores.
And as you said, this Park test is new this year. I think mm-hmm. anytime, and I think you also touched on the fact that they anticipated scores to be a little bit lower when kids are used to a certain thing and then they switch it up on them.
Right,
of course,
it's very
different. I couldn't do a standardized test if I was given one right now. I don't care if it was Scantron or not. It would be very difficult for me to do. As a result, who did well in Northeast Mississippi? I mean, where were the higher standards at?
Boonville did really well. I was looking over this just a few minutes ago, and they're in the top 10 districts in 7 of 12 of those tests. So, I mean, that's really, really great. And some other, you know, a lot of Northeast Mississippi districts did well. New Albany and Union County and Amory did well. Pontotoc, City Schools. Pontotoc did really well in the math tests. and then one that I noticed and that Chris and I had talked about yesterday was Okolona. School district did really well on, I think it was 4th grade math, that they were like the 3rd best district in the state.
Oh, wow.
And historically, they're not usually in the top districts in the state. So that was kind of interesting too. But yeah, I mean, across the board, Northeast Mississippi districts did well.
Well, good. That's the important thing then. Of course, we'll have more information, more detailed information in tomorrow's issue of the Daily Journal with charts and all kinds of facts.
Yeah, all
and
of
figures,
the numbers.
All
if
those
you're
things
into that.
That you love so much putting together.
Yes, and, I love numbers. Well, I actually had a good bit of help from Chris Kiefer over there. So thankfully I didn't have to handle too many numbers, but yeah, so all that tomorrow.
All right. Check out more information in tomorrow's issue of your Daily Journal.
Okay. Now time for the news memo, a rundown of the headlines in today's Daily Journal. And you can find these stories also at djournal.com. Congress has passed a spending bill for 2016 that includes more funding than originally thought for the Appalachian Regional Commission. The ARC, as it's called, is a federal state development program that includes Northeast Mississippi. It will receive $146 million for fiscal year 2016, about $46 million more than initially expected. At least part of that funding will support workforce training in this region, including automotive and aeronautical training at East Mississippi Community College.
Work continued on the Spain House on this Tuesday. It was built in the early 1900s. The structure now sits on South Thomas Street and is one of Tupelo's oldest structures. Current efforts include rebuilding the house's former wraparound porch, removing the old exterior siding, repairing the windows, building a handicap ramp, and replacing the doors. When restoration is complete, the structure will be used as headquarters for the Preservation Society.
Well-known public servant and Ripley resident Troy Holiday died Tuesday at the age of 88. The longtime educator served as superintendent of education in Tippah County for 11 years. He also served for 50 years on the Northeast Mississippi Community College Board of Trustees, and he was a founding member of Region 4 Mental Health Services. Services will be Friday at 1 p.m. at First Baptist Church in Ripley. Visitation is at the church tonight from 5 to 9 p.m. and Friday from 7 a.m. until the service begins.
First Christian Church is going to be open in time for Christmas. It was flattened during the April 2014 tornado over on McCullough. You know that where that is, Brad? Right there on the hill?
Yes.
Yes, of course. It's going to open in time for Christmas Eve service. Since the tornado, First Christian has conducted services and Bible studies in a small mobile unit on the church property. In July, Pastor Sherry Horton said it would take a bit of a miracle for the prayers to be completed by Christmas.
Miracles happen.
At Christmas time.
Okay, joining us on the program now is DJ Jumbo Lump, a.k.a. Riley Manning.
Hello.
Hey, Riley.
Hi.
I'll just call you Riley.
That'll be fine.
That'll be fine. Okay. Got Shrimp Fest coming up this weekend, Riley. Had a story in today's journal. Ray Shrimmard, the local duo, they've gone national, global, last year or two, I guess. But they're coming back home.
Universal.
Are they on Mars now?
Mm-hmm.
They've charted on the Mars Top 40. Okay. In town this weekend. Can tell us what's going on there, because they're bringing some friends with them. It's going to be kind of a big deal, isn't it, Riley?
Yeah. They kind of came out of nowhere, but they've been doing local acts around here for a while before they blew up. But I mean, they took the national scene certainly by storm and have toured with Nicki Minaj and have been in Europe for the past couple months. Like 2 days ago, they performed in Ireland. It might be today, actually. They perform in Ireland, and then a couple of days later, they'll touch down in Tupelo for the first annual Shrimfest, and they will bring Memphis rap veteran Yo Gotti with them, along with kind of newcomers K Camp and a couple others. Also, their producer, who's really well known, his name is he goes by Mike Will Made It. And so, if you hear that on any of their songs, that's how you know that he made the beat.
You got you. Okay.
Yeah.
So when is it going to be? It's doors open at 7 on Saturday?
Doors open at 7 on Saturday. The Shrimp Fest website says that the show will start at 7:30. That's at the Bancorp South Arena. Shrimpfest.com to get tickets if you're interested.
There's other stuff going on, too, with this whole thing.
Right. So the concert is Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, I think from noon to 4, they're going to have a fun day at Ballard Park. There's going to be barbecue and like a toy drive and a food drive to benefit kind of area kids who might need it.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. See someone blows up like this, it's good to see them come back home and then, you know, not just do a show, but they're giving back. And
Definitely. Their mother, Bernadette Walker, I know personally, and she's a super cool lady. But she was, you know, she was a single mom, like a lot of people are, and obviously some hardship comes with that. And so for them to kind of come back and help people in the same situation, I don't know, it kind of speaks a lot to them. Especially since Tupelo isn't really on the hip hop map.
Yeah. And we've talked about that before, trying to make this area a little more hip hop friendly, or just give a place that where people can maybe get a foothold in the industry. Not so easy.
Sure. Well, there are a lot of people around here that really are into hip hop as artists and producers and other things, but they're kind of isolated just because of the geography of the area and things like that. So Bernadette and James Garman run some promotions around here, and they more or less trying to get a network and a community of hip hop together, so that Tupelo is also a place to be in the music industry as much as Atlanta and Memphis are.
Yeah. Well, Sway Lee and Slim Jimmy will be in town. Is that how you say it, Sway Lee?
That's right. There's a typo in the article today that has Akil as Lim Jimmy, but it's definitely Slim Jimmy.
Slim Jimmy. Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll fix that online, Riley. It's cool. That's cool. So it's Saturday night's concert. You can get tickets at bcsarena.com/events or srimfest.com. That's S-R-E-M-M fest.com. Riley, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Okay, it's Thursday, which means it's movie review day, which means M. Scott Morris is in the building. Hello, Scott.
I'm here to make this podcast great again.
We appreciate it very much. Heart of the Sea, that's the movie you saw this week. It's billed as the story that inspired Moby Dick, I guess. I don't know how much truth there is to that, but...
Yeah, you never know, inspired by true events, how true those things are. But but Herman Melville shows up, the author of Moby Dick, shows up as a character in the story. He's trying to track down a story he heard about this massive whale. And he finds a reluctant Tom Nickerson, played by Brendan Gleeson, who then recounts this story of because when Nickerson was a child of 14, a teenager, he went out to sea and encountered massive whales and then fighting captains and first mates. Well, there's just one captain and just one first mate. But,
right.
Chris Hemsworth is the first mate. And
That's Thor's brother, right?
That's who?
That is Thor. I get Chris and Liam Hemsworth mixed up.
Okay, yeah, so Liam is the guy from... Is he PETA or is he the other guy?
That's Josh Hutcherson plays PETA.
Then the other guy... Then Gale.
Oh, okay.
He's Gale in that.
Gotcha.
And then Benjamin Walker plays George Pollard, the captain. And so these two guys don't get along very well, so that there's that going on while they're trying. I didn't realize this. I didn't know, but apparently at one time in the world, whale oil was the thing. I mean, that was there were international standards for the cost of the stuff set.
Wow.
And so they show us. You get to see what it takes to get whale oil. It's not an easy thing to do, and it's a really kind of it's a violent and bloody thing to do.
Yeah.
But you're out there on the ship as they do it, and it's something. And you know there's going to be a big whale, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's so good.
Spoilers.
I mean, you see. Well, it's in the previews. It's like, you know, and it's Moby Dick. So at some point, you're going to come up with a big whale. But here's the thing. Seeing them kill this relatively small whale early on, really by the time the big whale comes, I'm thinking, you know, they might have it coming. That's my 21st century take on it, I suppose.
So Greenpeace doesn't show up and try to keep them from whaling, do they?
Okay. No.
But it's a pretty interesting cast. You mentioned Cillian Murphy, who I liked him in Red Eye. I liked him in the Batman trilogy. I just think he needs more prominent roles because I like him as an actor.
In this, I don't know what it was, but something about his character. He played Matthew Joy, a very small character.
Yeah,
a small role, but something about the way he played it, and some of the. Apparently the guy is an alcoholic, and he quit drinking. But you never really come straight out. Just the way they play it,
yeah.
And I was just intrigued by it, and I thought, you know, if he were the captain or even the first mate, what kind of movie would this be? I think it might be slightly better.
Yeah, I like him a lot. And you talked about you gave it a B.
I did.
You know, it's a big epic set on the ocean.
Yeah, it's a Ron Howard joint.
Ron Howard.
Opie Cunningham.
Very good at what he does.
Opie Cunningham.
But it did get a little slow at times.
Yeah. In the review, I mentioned there's this part of the ocean called the doldrums where the wind doesn't blow. And, you know, we also call the doldrums being kind of bored or what have you. And they spent a little bit too much time in the literal and figurative doldrums for this movie. But they also, it was also rounded out some very exciting moments. And you know there's going to be a whale. You've seen the previews. You know a ship's going to get destroyed. But there are other secrets this movie has that I haven't shared with you and the previews haven't shared with you.
Okay.
And really, I was on the hook until the very end because you want to know how these characters' lives turn out. Thank you very much.
So you don't have to have read Moby Dick to enjoy it because I haven't read Moby Dick, so.
Confession. Yes, but our producer, Chris Kiefer, has, and he says it's wonderful.
Okay. Okay. I'll have to check it out sometime.
Call him Chris Kiefer.
I will. Before we let you go, Scott, I need to remind people about this movie contest we've got going on that's pretty cool. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, we're trying to get people who have smartphones or who have fancy cameras who enjoy shooting video. We're having a contest. We're going to coincide it right around Oscar time. But we are asking people to send their movies up to 5 minutes in length. And it can be as short as you want. Whatever you think will entertain somebody. We're calling it Entertain Us.
Yeah.
And, it's open to anybody in the world who wants to take part.
Wow.
The winner will get a director's chair with their name on it and the title of Inaugural Entertain Us Champion, which might carry some weight, you know, maybe somewhere.
But also
a movie slate, you know, when you go cut, print, or when you, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
That was my hands. That wasn't the actual slate, but the...
Well, it sure sounded like one.
The thing about that's radio magic. That's podcast magic right there, buddy.
Special effects.
So it doesn't have to be new, but 5 minutes, any age group can take part, any place. You can't be an employee of Journal Publishing, Journal Inc., or any of its subsidiaries. Or your family member, so your wife can't win.
Otherwise,
anybody in the world. So mainly... upload your video to YouTube and then send the link to entertainus@journalinc.com. That's journalinc.com. Mm-hmm. And please include your name and age and town.
Right.
And our deadline is January 20th at 11:59 p.m.
Okay.
And we should be announcing things around Oscar times. And we're going to do a head-to-head matchup. And people in the community are going to be asked to watch them each day and pick the winner. It's going to be like bracketology. Right. Like a
bracket style. Yeah.
Yeah, like the Final Four. We'll have a rumble.
Cool. Sounds good.
An artistic movie-making rumble.
It's going to be fun. That's a cool thing. Anyway, y'all can, going back to Scott's review, you can read it in today's journal, djournal.com. Follow Scott on Twitter @mscottmorris. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay, Derek, I guess that's about it for this show.
I guess it is.
We'll be back Monday. Might not be back Monday.
Don't make promises you can't keep. You don't know when you'll be
here. Be back Monday for sure.
Don't make promises I can't keep.
Okay.
Somebody will be here Monday.
Somebody will be here. We'll have a podcast Monday.
It'll probably be me.
And probably Wednesday, and then off for Christmas.
No Christmas Eve podcast.
Sorry, you'll have to make do without us.
We won't. That's one present, one less present for you to open this year.
Listen to the old shows.
Yes.
All over again.
Yeah, why not? That's good
stuff. We put out a best of, but let's face it, they all already are. We can't back that up. All right, so check us out online, memo.djournal.com. You can also email us, thememo.
No,
I do it every time. memo@journalinc.com.
Memo@journalinc.com.
We're also on Twitter @djournalmemo. And, of course, all the news you heard about today and some that you're going to hear about tomorrow with the test scores you can find in your issue of the Daily Journal or online @djournal.com.
Indeed. Got a couple other podcasts to remind y'all about. Just had a new episode of Double Coverage drop this morning. Logan Lowry, Parrish Alford, talking MSU and Ole Miss sports. Today, this week's episode, Robert Kimdichie, that ongoing situation is discussed along with some basketball. And
thought he was going to be on the show there for a
minute. Full practice. That'd be quite the get.
We did it from the fourth floor.
Okay. Yeah. You can listen to Double Coverage on iTunes or your Android podcast app, also at doublecoverage.djournal.com. And also this week had a new episode of Prep Rally, our high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. You can listen to that. It's on iTunes now. Also at preprally.djournal.com. Okay, Derek, I think we're done. We're done here. We got a Christmas lunch to get to soon.
Thanks, Brad. We like to be kept updated with the all the new podcasts coming from the Daily Journal team here. Our producer, Chris Kiefer. Let's get Chris. Golf clap. Golf clap.
What's up, Chris?
Golf clap. What is that?
Yay! What was that?
My lazy clap. Whatever.
We'll be back on Monday with a brand new episode, and we will see you guys next time. Have a good weekend.
Goodbye.